from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Sometimes San Francisco politics can feel like you're part of the movie Groundhog Day. A waterfront battle over building height requirements called Proposition B. Didn't we just vote on that last November? Yes, we did. But you can think of last year's B like an animated short. It just involved height requirements for one building, which voters gave a big thumbs down. 7 months later, a new version of Proposition B is back on the marquee. And this time, it's the feature-length motion picture version, one that comes with the possibility of creating endless sequels. This B would require voter approval for any waterfront project that exceeds city height limits. Proposition B, the saga continues. Play it again, San Francisco, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. The waterfront wars are back. On June 3rd, San Francisco voters will take up Proposition B. If it passes, voters would have to approve any proposed building project along the heart of the city's waterfront if it exceeds existing height requirements. If all this sounds familiar, it's because last November, voters voted down a similar proposal that would have allowed a large waterfront project at 8 Washington. But while the debate seems similar, this year the stakes are higher, because this time the impact zone stretches for 7.5 miles. In fact, Proposition B appears to already be having an impact, even though Election Day is 3.5 weeks away. Last month, the Golden State Warriors abandoned their plans to build a new arena along the waterfront, opting for a new site outside the port area. And the San Francisco Giants are now scaling back their development plans for land adjacent to the ballpark and have backed off their opposition to Proposition B. Supporters argue that's as it should be. We only have one waterfront, they say, and it needs all the protection we can muster. Opponents say requiring a citywide vote on any proposal that exceeds height limits will stifle future development, including housing, that the city urgently needs. We're going to take up Proposition B this hour of Forum. Joining us, Art Agnos, former mayor, of course, of San Francisco and a leading supporter of Proposition B. Mr. Mayor, good to have you as always.
Good morning. Nice to be back with you, Dave.
Thanks for being here. And joining us as well is Patrick Valentino. He is a spokesperson for the other side of this equation, is opposed to Proposition B. Mr. Valentino is a community activist and real estate lawyer as well. Patrick Valentino, good morning to you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Happy to have you both here. So let's dig right in to why this is necessary and from one point of view, why it's not in another. First, Mr. Valentino, it seems on the surface like a reasonable idea. If something wants to go above existing height requirements, then the voters of San Francisco ought to be able to give their okay. Why not?
We're in the middle of our greatest affordability crisis in housing, and now we're going to focus just on heights. Prop B creates an enormous problem by simplifying a process down to just heights. If Prop B passes, a developer can go to the ballot and put something on there, and maybe put something short on there, maybe put something tall on there, but that won't give the voters any indication of what necessary public benefit should come with that project, how integration with transit should happen, what the level of affordable housing should be, perhaps above the minimum amounts. Do we get parks and when are those built? It is a significant distraction from where we need to be, and I think we all lose because of it.
So your argument would be that sometimes exceptions are needed. There ought to be a process for that, a review process for that. It's not that they ought to happen willy-nilly. It's just that the entire voting populace of San Francisco shouldn't have to approve them each and every time.
Well, if you look at the process we have today, and by way of example, and looking at the two projects, Seawall Lot 337 and Pier 70, there have been significant public process to get to the draft stages that they've gotten to today on the proposed projects.
And this is one that would add about 1,000 units of housing.
I think it would add more than that. I think it's over 3,300 units of rental housing, including upwards of 600 affordable housing units. And I just, to hear that Prop B is already having effect before it passed and that some of these projects could be shrunk. So what I'm saying then is true, that we could lose significant housing. We should be in the process of discussing how we link the production of housing and affordable housing together, not just distracted on a simple ballot measure. Does that mean the public process is perfect today? Absolutely not. But does Prop B solve that? No, not at all.
Yeah. Mayor Agnes.
Well, clearly the need for affordable housing is paramount in San Francisco, not only for affordable but for middle-class housing. We've seen that throughout all of the national media and certainly in San Francisco, where people who make $150,000 a year can't afford to buy a house. And people are being offered $50,000 just to move out of a house, a studio in the Mission. So we do need affordable housing. But unfortunately, it's not going to be built on the waterfront. The last project we saw was 8 Washington, where people voted against it 2-1, because what was being proposed there was a $5 to $10 million condominium project. And that's what usually is proposed by the port and by developers all along the waterfront. Yes, they talk about affordable housing, but that's a disguise. Usually they can opt out to put the money into the mayor's affordable housing fund and allow it to be built, quote, somewhere else. Where someone else somewhere else is yet to be determined. But we keep hearing before the election how important affordable housing is, but none of these projects really call for it and guarantee it'll be built on site and where the expensive housing is.
What about the Pier 70 project that Mr. Valentino just mentioned, which does have, at least in its proposal, as I understand it, a fair amount of affordable housing?
And the wonderful thing about Prop B is it gives the voters of San Francisco a choice. It doesn't replace any of the existing planning processes. We'll go through the planning department. We'll go through the Port Commission. We'll go through the Board of Permit Appeals. We'll go through the Board of – nothing in the current model of planning in San Francisco is to be changed. All Prop B does is add one more step, and that is if you seek to raise the current legal height limits above what is currently legal along 7.5 miles of our precious waterfront owned by the people of San Francisco, then you have to get a vote of the people. And they will decide if they like Pier 70, as I do, then they will support a change in the height limits. What Prop B does, it doesn't say yes, it doesn't say no. It simply says you have a choice whether you like the project. If you have a good project, it'll be approved. If you don't have a good project, it won't be approved.
Here's where I think words and language are really interesting. You refer to it as one more step. I think opponents would probably say one more layer. So let's talk about that for a moment.
One more layer.
So is it a step or is it a layer that weighs things down and keeps things from happening?
Well, it's a very simple step. It's something that happens regularly in our democracy, which is the people get a right to vote on what happens in our city. We've had that happen many, many times on the waterfront, over 18 ballot measures around height limits, around other things that affect the waterfront and elsewhere in the city. We vote on it all the time to decide whether it's good or bad for the city. And this is just another example of a precious piece of land owned by the public, with the public having a chance to have the final say on what happens there, not the politicians, not the bureaucrats.
Mr. Valentino, what about that? About, you know, just a simple step versus a layer?
Well, first of all, it's a step and a layer. And I'm sitting next to a lifelong politician who's very good at getting up in front of people and making his case. If we put this in place, if Prop B passes, the layer includes a political campaign for each and every development that's going to break through the height limit.
So we would have perpetual – is your concern that we would have perpetual propositions, perpetual balloting every time there's a waterfront project?
If you go through the height limit, and the height limit on lot 337 is zero, we're not even talking –
That's the Giants Lot A.
The historic pier sheds that are at the front of the, that are on the water, at the water's edge, there's no proposal to put something tall on those spaces right now. And just to back up real quick, the housing affordability issue, the affordable housing would be on site. If you download the letters of intent and the term sheets, you'll see that that's where it's going. And there's even public discussion at citizen advisory committee meetings to increase the percentage. But backing up to this layer and a step, imagine if it passes. So then now the market rate players, the developers, pivot and they become campaign experts. And now they're going to come to the public with something they think is going to pass. And whatever they put on that ballot, They'll make a judgment call. If they put a fairly complete proposal on the ballot because they think that can pass, then what they put together and what passes now jumps CEQA. That is the environmental review. That environmental review provides the public with knowledge about how developments affect the environment, how they affect the living environment for people.
So sorry to interrupt, but yeah, you're saying – the mayor is saying that the same planning process would stay in place. It just adds this extra function of a public vote. You're saying that it would trump that review process. Is that right?
Exactly. To the extent that a developer puts something on the ballot and it passes, it trumps that process. If you go on the – if you read the mayor asked the different city departments to give their – to study this measure, and if you download or just read online the letters, you'll see from the planning and the port and the other departments, the MTA, Department of Public Works, Office of Economic and Workforce Development, if – a development passes, whatever they put on that passes now jumps over until we don't have the opportunity for mitigation.
Let's stay with this point for a moment because it's an important one. And it's true, as Mr. Valentino suggests, Mayor Agnos, that those various city departments put out reports. The planning department did, the Department of Public Works, the Port Authority, so forth, all saying that they had various concerns about them. And the planning department in particular said this might allow developers to bypass the process by just getting it on the ballot. You're saying that wouldn't happen. So help me understand.
Well, there are a lot of points to cover. First of all of the departments work for the mayor. They are appointed by the mayor, and therefore they often like to tell the mayor what he likes to hear.
Though the mayor has not taken a stand on Proposition
B. I know he's
B.
letting his department heads take the stand for him. And that's too bad. I wish he were here to debate this issue because I've been trying to debate him on this issue for a long time, and he simply avoids it. But the point is that these department heads, they did it when I was there. They said, well, what do you want to say, Mr. Mayor? I said, I want you to say what is in the best interest of this city, not mine or my political interests. And what happens
but
is –
But you don't think Ed Lee's doing that. You told those departments to do the right thing, but Ed Lee is not.
like to make the mayor happy. I really do. I have experienced it myself, and it's always a struggle. So these department heads now know that the city is not crazy about this. The mayor's not crazy. He doesn't want to get into election. He sees where the people are going with it. And as a result, he's sort of staying neutral. But his department heads are not. And what we're seeing is the sky is falling. And all of it is prefaced by could, might, all these kind, nothing is definitive, and it reminds me of the America's Cup when we heard that we were going to make billions of dollars from those same department heads, and yet we wound up with a $25 million deficit that we're still trying to pay off and haven't finished yet. So these reports that come at a very sensitive time just before the election are highly suspect.
So there are two issues here. There's one, whether or not those reports are politicized. But the other question, which I think is important to get clear about, is whether or not you could have something on the ballot that would circumvent the existing review process. So we'll come back to the politics, okay. But I really want to know whether or not that would happen.
Let me speak to that because it's a valid point. The language, it's only three paragraphs. It's very clear. It speaks only to heights. It does not replace the existing planning process. It does not speak to design of windows or anything else. It just says if you want to go higher than the current law allows on public land along the waterfront, you got to get a vote of the people.
The environmental review process will still take place.
Yep. All of the other kinds of issues will still take place. And if they don't, it's not going to do well in any election. By the way, speaking of developers going to spend campaigns and all that, they do that now, Dave. The difference is instead of spending it to educate the public on whether a height limit variance is allowed, they give it to the politicians in the form of campaign donations in the tens of thousands of dollars. So we're just shifting the campaign money to educate voters instead of reward politicians.
Let's come back to the campaigns and the politics of this. But just to sort of stay with this one point for a moment, the mayor is saying, Mr. Valentino, yeah. that the review mm-hmm. process would stay in place. The environmental review process would stay in place. The only thing yeah. that the ballot would trump or have a say-so about is the height of projects. Everything else would continue. You're saying that's not the case?
No, it's completely wrong. That's the problem with Prop B. Prop B does not tell the developer nor the public what they're supposed to put on the ballot. It says if you break the height limit, you've got to tell us what the height limit was and what's it going to be. Okay? But the developer can put more on the ballot. And to the extent the developer puts certain aspects of his or her project on the ballot, how many parks, how tall the building's going to be, what the parking's going to look like, are we going to redesign the streets, what utilities are going to go into place, are we going to build parks to the front of the development or the back of the development, all that stuff that takes place within the public planning process that's completely transparent, that the public can participate in and go online right now and find out how those decisions are. If they put that on the ballot and it passes, basically because of it's a ballot measure that's passed, it is not what has passed, the components that have passed are not subject to CEQA review.
But didn't that happen to a degree? Isn't that what happened with 8 Washington last November, that project was sweetened up by various plans for parks or whatever, and the voters said, no, thank you?
Well, hey, with 8 Washington went through the planning process completely. It went through the CEQA review process completely. It went through all the processes completely. Folks didn't like it, and they put it on the ballot, and they voted it down. And so 27% of the electorate voted, about 18% said no on 8 Washington, and many people weren't paying much attention. There's a big difference. That's one project.
This is 7.5 miles.
We're talking about the development of a neighborhood that integrates with transit that could build parks along the waterfront. And when do those parks get built? And Prop B does not talk about that.
Let's go now to the politics of this, because at the heart of what you're saying, Mr. Mayor, is that you don't trust the current review process, that there needs to be voter approval because the current review process is not trustworthy, right?
Absolutely. What's happened, and we're only talking about the waterfront owned by the people of San Francisco. We're not talking about private land here or anything close to that.
Yeah, let's be clear about that. So this is 7.5 miles, basically from the northern edge of Hunter's Point to Fisherman's Wharf.
That's right.
All along just the water's
owned
edge.
Owned by the people of San Francisco, and it has become the Gold Coast of San Francisco for developers. We've seen nothing but an array of high-priced condominium, $5 to $10 million projects being offered as a way to make money for the port. And what we're saying is that the people of San Francisco should have a voice in what happens to their property, not the bureaucrats, not the politicians exclusively, because what we've seen over the last 10 years is a steady stream of waivers of height limits that threaten the viability in terms of use by the people of San Francisco of the waterfront. The biggest example being Fontana East and West, which triggered the whole anti-high-rise along the waterfront movement, and it continues today.
But what interests me about this, Mr. Mayor, and then to you, Mr. Valentino, about this, is that integral to your point of view, it seems to me, is a lack of faith in our current governmental bodies and really in representative democracy, because you're saying we need to have direct democracy in this particular arena. Yeah?
We have direct democracy in everything we do in this city and in this country. It is one of the values of the American system that when the people are dissatisfied with what is happening with their government, they don't go to Civic Center and throw Molotov cocktails or burn rubber tires. They go inside the building, take out an initiative, and file a piece of paper that says, we the people want this to happen. And last December we saw in a record period of time, a record number of San Franciscans sign a petition that said, we want to be able to have a choice when it comes to height limits on public property along the waterfront. It becomes an insurance policy that protects against any kind of deviance by the bureaucrats or the politicians.
And in that way, Mr. Valentino, it's true that Californians love propositions. And it's true to the way we've done things in this state for the past 100 years, that when in doubt, take it to the people.
And in this instance, you know, San Francisco's evolving. We've got a significant amount of people are projected to move to the city over the coming years. We have empty parking lots. We have broken down piers. We have broken down buildings along the waterfront that are not used. Nobody has proposed a Miami on the waterfront. What has gone on over the past, I think it's started in the late 90s with these public hearings on these projects, is an integration of a interesting neighborhood to take place. So what would replace an enormous public process that's been transparent, where planning professionals get involved and can access data and get data on how these projects works, would be replaced by campaigns. And now what we're going to see is we're going to see the No Wall on the Waterfront campaign stay alive and keep going. And, you know, for a developer, maybe, again, they play in the market rate, right? So a developer could decide to shorten its buildings and make them short and wide, and we'll have short, full-block coverage buildings instead of a mix of tall and short with parks, with view corridors to the bay. I think this actually would create the wall on the waterfront that's unintended, and no one will pay attention. Because
isn't the response to that, if that's what people want, that's what they want. People vote, and they'll vote up or down based on what's out there.
That's what Prop B offers. It offers people a choice on public land as to what they want in terms of height limits. That's it. And a great example of what Pat is talking about, if I can use it, is the Warriors Arena. They were going to break through the height limits on the water and across from the water on public land that would have created the kind of wall that he says would happen and we don't want. The Warriors saw the wisdom of Prop B coming at them, and they, to their credit, said, we'll go to the Salesforce site, and it's turning out to be a deliriously wonderful place for them. And in its place, we are now seeing discussion in this city of an appropriate size Lucas Museum going along the waterfront at that site. So it's not going to stay broken down long. It's merely giving us breathing space to get the right kind of facility for the right location. The Lucas Museum, for example, would be a
This is another proposal for within the height limit, 30 and 32.
Within the height limit, it would not be a monstrosity and makes some sense. So I hope they're going to follow through on some of that.
But let me let Patrick Valentino stay with this question of what's wrong in the end with people making those choices. They may be, in your judgment or mine or 47 other people, not great judgments, but they're their judgments.
Well, yeah, and it's not really about whether they, you know, whether how people vote. It's the process that gets us there. Again, a developer will work with a campaign manager, and Mayor Agnos has already had private conversations with the Giants about shrinking their development. So we've already seen the process take place as a political move, as a political unraveling of what was a very open, multi-year, thousands of people involved in a public planning process.
Are you accusing Art Agnos of smoke-filled room politics with Larry Baer?
I don't know if he smokes or not, but I don't know what took place in that room, and I don't know what
I hear
Mayor Agnos, and I hear his campaign manager talk about, hey, it's great news, the project is shrinking. See, right away, shrinking is what your campaign manager said. And so right away, we're having the problem that we should be getting away from. Whether the project, folks can take a look at the project and see if it's good or bad. But if this goes to the ballot, if these projects go to the ballot, it's a campaign. It's going to be a no-wall campaign. And we could end up with skirting environmental review, skirting the data that we need to find out what kind of integration with transit we need, all in the name of protecting views, all in the name of
I'm holding up a hand because we have to go away for a break. We will definitely continue your points and Mayor Agnos's rejoinder when we return. But we do need to take a short break, and we want you to join our conversation as well. Here's how to do that. You can call us now at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org or post your thoughts on our Facebook page or on our website. What do you think? Should voters get involved in approving any building project that exceeds current height limits? We'd love to hear from you here on Forum. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Our topic this hour, Proposition B, which is on the ballot June the 3rd in 3.5 weeks. Proposition B would require voters to approve any project that exceeds existing height limits built along the heart of the San Francisco waterfront, the port-controlled land, which goes from roughly the northern edge of Hunter's Point all the way to Fisherman's Wharf. We're joined by Art Agnos, former mayor of San Francisco, who supports Proposition B, Patrick Valentino, who opposes it, community activist and real estate lawyer. Taylor. We'd love to hear from you as well. Do you support? Do you oppose? What are your concerns? What are your questions? 866-733-6786. We'll go right away to Michael in San Francisco. Michael, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me. My question and comment is that it seems intrinsic in opposing Proposition B that there's a fear of what the voters will say about your project. And I guess my question is, why are these projects not tailored to get the votes of the people that will pass it?
Michael, thanks. Patrick Valentino.
Well, I think developers will pivot, and they will tailor something to get. Of course, they'll tailor something to get the votes of the people. They'll put their project on the ballot up front, and they'll try to design something that, based with campaign consultants, that they think they can get through. And then what we talk about is it's a giant loophole because we'll suffer from not having that environmental review. Because whatever gets passed is no longer subject to review. So I think it's an enormous distraction to focus. Nobody's challenging the intelligence of the voters. I am a typical voter. It's taken me several months to figure out how this all works.
Is your concern in part, Pat Valentino, that we'll get proposals that won't be necessarily the most creative or bold or original? We'll get things that people think this is what the voters might buy.
Well, it might just – look, if I'm a developer and I have investors and I have to bring a certain return to the table and I have certain minimum requirements, I'm gonna design something perhaps to fit that, or I'll go somewhere else. Now, I can – it may be okay for me as the developer to come to the table with something that's shorter, wider, full block coverage, less parks, no fees for transit. And let's just say the voters go, well, fine, that's great because it's small, it's short. But it's actually bulky and wide and blocks views. And so that's the problem with B. It doesn't tell our caller how this works at all. It just says height. It
Dave,
keeps saying height.
Okay. If it was small, it wouldn't go on the ballot. The only thing that goes on the ballot is something that is higher than current height limits on the waterfront.
Which is zero. It's so, 337.
Excuse me. And so what'll go on the ballot and only go on the ballot will be something that proposes to go above current height limits, then they're going to have to explain why they're doing height limits. And that's why the Sierra Club supports it, the Affordable Housing Alliance supports it, the Coalition for San Francisco Neighbors. The only opponents to this are not the people proposing projects on the waterfront. The Forest City people doing Pier 70 are not opposing this. The Giants are not opposing this. The Warriors are not opposing this. The only people who are opposing this are the realtors who make a lot of money selling $5 to $10 million condos, building owners, the Chamber of Commerce, and the building trades who want to build these tall buildings without any review by the people of San Francisco.
Michael, thanks for the call. Let's define tall for a moment because I think there's confusion about what counts in this.
Sure.
As you suggest, Mr. Mayor, the proposals would have to go through this voting process if they exceed limits. But those limits vary across
That's
right? They go from anywhere from 40 feet, which is what, three stories?
They go from zero.
To 85 feet. So they're not necessarily giant. And you're saying sometimes that like the parking lot at China Basin,
that entire development is zero. You want to build a three-story building, you're going to the voters.
The current plan in Mission Bay does call for zero in a place that zone for a park. So if we want to change that from a park to some kind of higher rise, that would have to require a vote of the people at the next regularly scheduled vote, only the height. But if it's going to be a good project like those being shown to me and others in the community for the last 5 years at the Giants Village, then that should have no problem if it completes the EIR properly within the current law, as well as all of the other processes. Only if they want to go high will they have to ask
permission.
But
in that one case, Mr. Valentino is correct. It wouldn't have to go high. Just have to go higher than a millimeter.
Absolutely. Prop B does not say yes or no. It says choice.
Right.
We did that with the ballpark. The ballpark was zoned for one story, and it went up to 13 because the people of San Francisco saw the wisdom. So what this does is give the people of San Francisco the insurance that they have the final say, not the realtors, not the developers, not the builders, but the people of San Francisco on their publicly owned land.
Let's go to another caller. Veronica joins us next in San Francisco. Veronica, go ahead.
Hi, my question is, wouldn't this set a precedence that then other projects like affordable housing, someone could put on the ballot that voters have to vote for that?
Veronica, thanks for the question. So this really only applies to buildings right along the waterfront,
correct,
controlled by the port, that 7.5-mile stretch. It would not, as I understand it, set any kind of precedent for any other building project anywhere else
in
the city. Is that correct, Mr. Valenzuela?
That's correct.
Why wouldn't it? Hold on one second. Why wouldn't it set a precedent? I mean,
everything sets a precedent.
Well, exactly.
If you want to say
exactly.
That,
it sets
it
a precedent.
It has to be acted on by the people.
I just want to address the caller's question. Absolutely. There's affordable housing units that are involved in this project. And they are going to be subject to a
if
vote.
If they're built along the waterfront. I think the caller was also suggesting whether or not something was built on Knob Hill.
Why would these guys stop? You have to ask yourself, why would they stop?
So you're saying it's a slippery slope for the rest of development in the city.
It's absolutely a slippery slope. Why would they stop here?
Yeah.
It's too easy.
It sounds like a panicky response, because we've always had initiatives in this city. You said that earlier in your comments, because people will go to the ballot box to protect their neighborhoods. They will go to protect their city. And we've seen initiatives all along around the city when people are upset with the decisions that bureaucrats and politicians made when they're funded by developers. A few years ago, in 2002, a perfect example that's an analogous to this, the voters approved the charter amendment that said you can't fill in the runways, build more runways on the airport over 100 acres unless you get a permission of the people of San Francisco, because the airport was our property. We wanted to control it. It's the same thing with the waterfront. It's the people's property. They should have the final say.
Well, you know, going back to Mayor Agnos's comment earlier, he said if the lot 337, the lot A development, first goes through
the Giants
development, if that first goes through the environmental review and then the voters get to vote, but that's the problem. Prop B says doesn't say when you take it, you can bring it. If I'm them, I'm bringing it as soon as I can and not spending another dollar until I work with my campaign consultants to figure out how it should work.
Let's go to another call. Neil in Palo Alto. Go ahead.
Yeah, clarifications. The first one is this proposal does not affect, it's only prospective. It doesn't affect anything in the pipeline. If you've been approved, you're approved. And then the second clarification is, I think I heard one of your guests saying that if it goes on the ballot and it's approved, it'll still be subject to things like EIR and environmental impact review. And one of your guests saying no, It won't be. It'll get to bypass it. So those two clarifications. And if we have time, I'll have a comment. But I'll
Neil,
stop
thank
there.
You. No, they're important questions. The first one is probably simpler to answer, and I don't know the answer to this. Does it affect things that are on the drawing boards now? Is Neil's question.
Absolutely. There's two projects on the drawing board. One at 337, lot 337. And one at Pier 70.
So if something
has been already approved, I think.
But I guess Neil's question is important. So if a project has been approved,
then it's
and
approved.
It exceeds the height limits and B
on
passes,
the waterfront, there are none.
Okay.
There are none.
There's nothing in that
There
queue.
Is nothing in that
there's,
category.
There's nothing in that category.
So it would not – there's nothing no. – it wouldn't affect anything in the pipeline because there's nothing in the pipeline.
That's
is that right?
That's
okay.
Right.
Well,
so
for the waterfront that exceeds the height limit at this point that has been approved. That's what I think the question was.
And Neil's other important question, and you two just disagree about this,
what?
Which is the question of whether or not Prop B trumps other kinds of environmental reviews. You're saying, Mr. Agnos, that
trumps
it does
one
not?
Thing. One thing. Height limits. That's all
That's
it trumps.
That's not true. That's
the rest
very
of it
untrue.
All stays in place as it does today, and state CEQA laws and all the other disguises that the opponents are using in order to confuse the voters trumps anything the city does. State laws always have superseded city laws, and this will be no mm-hmm. different.
And so the planning department says, the Department of Public Works, for example, says, because the initiative does not restrict what developers can place on future ballot measures to raise heights, developers may include specifications that conflict with the requirements and standards of the public works codes and other municipal codes. So the Department
could,
of Public Works is saying
conflict.
That they
– Okay, but it doesn't say how it's settled, Dave.
Well, if you go to page 7 and 8,
it doesn't say who decides.
If you read what the San Francisco Planning Department wrote in their letter of May 5th, page 7 and 8 talks specifically about the applicability of the environmental laws for a proposition put on the ballot measure that is passed. And it says if it's passed, those elements that have been put on there, again, the developer with its campaign consultant can design what it puts on there. if it passes, will no longer be subject to environmental review. Those aspects will not be. So if I'm a developer and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, I'm going to make an elective decision.
And Mr. Agnos is saying it all depends on the word could. So let me read the full sentence that you're quoting, Mr. Valentino. Depending on the nature of required ballot measures that would invoke Proposition B, such measures could enable developers to bypass otherwise mandatory environmental review. So Neil, the answer to your question is it could.
Yeah.
Because, and it depends on whether or not you trust that process.
Because the bureaucrats who work for the mayor, who work for the departments that would be overridden on height limits, don't like it. So they're coloring their language to make it look as bad as they can. And obviously, Mr. Valentino is capitalizing on that could language to make voters fear something that doesn't exist.
But could applies to what they put on the ballot. Does not apply to what happens if it gets approved. If they put it on the ballot, it is not a project which is then subject to environmental or CEQA review.
And you're also saying, Mr. Mayor, very fundamentally, that we should not trust our Department of Planning, our Department of Public Works, because they make decisions based on politics.
Yeah? All too often in the last 10 years, we've seen too much of that in terms of giving waivers to requests for height limits. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about design and these other issues. I'm talking about routine waivers on height limits along the waterfront. And that is a fact that no one can deny. And what we're saying is they can go ahead and do it, but before it's finally approved on public land, the people will have the final say. This ensures that they will be in the room when those decisions are made with the implications of Prop B.
And Mr. Valentino, it's not often, probably, that real estate attorneys come to the defense of government bureaucracy. But do you in this regard?
I'm not necessarily coming to defense of government bureaucracy, but if you look at the process, the reason I've got involved in this in these issues is because I voluntarily got involved in public process relative to these developments because I was very interested to see what was going on.
But
and
you can't deny, Pat, you also work with a law firm that makes a lot of money in real estate, commercial real estate.
None of these folks are our clients,
banking,
so that's an enormous distraction.
Let's not get into to bios at the moment. Well, so, Neil, in the end, the answer to your question is it depends, not to sound Clintonian about this, but it depends on your definition of could. So thank you. Thanks for raising that. Here's some comments that are coming in via email and online. Smart planning is inclusive and painstaking and doesn't lend itself to ballot box decision making. I oppose Proposition B because our southern waterfront and port property deserve better. Lance takes the other point of view. The excuse of affordable housing on the waterfront is laughable. No investor would throw their money into the wind for this. This is about building high return condos. And another listener says, have San Francisco developers turned a new leaf or changed their stripes or decided they have a heart? I was under the impression that affordable housing was the last thing that any developer wants to build to San Francisco. So on these two points, first on whether or not developers really want to bring housing or if that's just a charade. Patrick,
no, that's the if you take a look at the term sheets for the projects, and you can also see in the port letter the outline of the amount of housing that's to be brought. And it comes up to almost 3,300 units with almost 600 units on site. I think developers are happy to bring housing. We need housing. There's an incentive to want to build housing in San Francisco. Now, if you have to go to the ballot and you're going to be going up against Mayor Agnos or you're going to be talking to him privately, you may decide to shorten that building and get better returns with an office. We lose housing. Office may bring better per square foot, may just be better for the bottom line, but we need housing.
Well, clearly we want affordable housing, and everything to date, the history of the port is miserable recent history is miserable when it comes to affordable housing. 8 Washington is a perfect example. They wanted to raise the height limits 3 or 4 stories and put nothing but $5 to $10 million condominiums there. And there's nothing to say they won't do that in the future unless there is some kind of insurance policy that is owned by the people people of San Francisco who need that affordable housing, and that's what Prop B offers.
Prop B doesn't talk about housing.
It only says that if you want to increase the heights on public land, you have to come and ask the people for that permission, not the bureaucrats and the politicians who get the money from those political consultants you're talking about that are going to do so much for affordable housing. That's a myth.
A number of people want to ask this question about that one of our earlier emails commented about whether or not ballot box decision making, which is a phrase we often hear about in these debates, is a good idea. Max goes on to say, this is just direct democracy run amok. It's a clever conceit. It's not in my backyard stuff. Anyone who knows San Francisco's culture knows darn well that the outcome of any ballot proposal to raise heights would be a victory for a no vote. What about that, the whole sort of ballot box decision-making, and that this is the reason why Ed Lee isn't saying anything is because he knows what the outcome's going to be?
Well, I would hope that politicians have some courage and will speak to their convictions. But clearly, the people of San Francisco have approved height limit increases on the waterfront, the Giants ballpark being a most outstanding example. We raised it to 13 stories so that we could have a world-class ballpark. And I think that you're going to see down the road with some of the projects that I've read about and heard about, that if they include the right things, they're going to get that approval.
I think that's actually a compelling argument that I'd love to hear your response to. If you look at AT&T Park, everyone loves AT&T Park.
Absolutely.
We see what's happened along the Embarcadero. It's like good, 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 and good. So if the mayor's making the point that if it's the right project, people are going to say yes.
Exactly.
Then why is their motto, no wall on the waterfront? Why is the focus of Prop B language really simple? I read it again last night. It's like there's nothing to read. It's if it's tall, you got to tell us if it's tall and what the current height limit is.
He asked the question. I'll answer it. No wall on the waterfront means no Fontana East, no Fontana West. That was the first wall. 8 Washington was the second wall.
Prop B.
And there were – I'm sorry. And so that's what no wall means, but it doesn't mean that we won't approve. That's what Prop B says. It gives you a yes or a no. It doesn't say no. It's a choice.
But why doesn't Prop B say – if you're not going to come with the smart development, come with it. Why doesn't it instruct what a good development, a good neighborhood would be? It doesn't do any of that.
No.
It is so simplistic, which leaves open the process again of jumping around loopholes. It doesn't talk about the housing that we need. It doesn't talk about the transit integration that we need. It doesn't talk about parks. In fact, it doesn't even tell you what gets built on the water's edge and that there's a park and what day or time that park's going to be built, the front end or the back end.
Let me hold you there if I might. Just because we're running a bit short on time and Dee Dee wants us to get to an important point that we haven't really covered yet. Dee Dee, go ahead.
Thank you. I heard former Mayor Agnos say that development on the waterfront is just a way to make money for the port, as if that's a bad thing. The port is desperately in need of funds to upgrade its infrastructure, its crumbling piers, especially now during global warming. It needs money to create new parks and open space, transportation, and yes, housing and rental housing for middle-income families. I think Prop B is going to discourage any new building on the waterfront. We're going to lose all of that. And I would like Mr. Valentino to speak to this issue. What will the port lose and what will the city lose if Prop B passes?
Well, let's let you each speak to that question. The port commission itself has said that the city will lose $8.5 billion in lost revenue if Prop B is passed. And as Dee Dee suggests, there are lots of needy things that revenue could assist with. So
the port and the waterfront are an extraordinary opportunity for the city to develop it in a smart way, as we have been. And Monique Moyer has done with the new exploratorium, with the public piers, with the remodeling of 1, 3, and 5, and a whole variety of things. Those are smart developments that are making money for the port. And I think what the city has to do first and foremost is invest in the port. I think we ought to do a bond issue with the return coming from the profits that are developed as a result of the investment. And unfortunately, the current administration has been reluctant to put a bond issue on the ballot. We're ready to do it for a lot of other things in the city, but the port, I think, has a high priority for investment so that we can get the return on that property that is not working for us right now.
And Patrick Valentina, will those investments happen, in your judgment, if Prop B is passed?
Well, maybe not, because what will happen is or we'll lose significant dollars that we could have. I think Mayor Agnos and his political team basically make up a fictional development out of thin air at a 40-foot height limit or at four stories that somehow is going to spec out really well when you don't even have utilities at the current site of Lot 337. That parking lot is just a parking lot. There are no utilities below it. You'd have to build out utilities. So when we're looking at these projects and we're evaluating the value of whether we should have a few tall buildings, Prop B does not tell us anything about it. It doesn't inform any of the voters about that. So the significant loss is real. The dollars that are needed are real. And the public process that's taken place for, I think, about 16 years on some of these projects and the hundreds of meetings, thousands of participants have gotten to a place where there's something that could be valuable to the port, valuable to the city, valuable to the neighborhood that I live in, and provide great views and invitations to the waterfront. Prop B does not discuss any of that. They keep talking about other developments like Fontana and other things that have gone on along the waterfront. Those don't address what's going on with Prop B.
Patrick Valentino is a spokesperson for the no on Proposition B side, as you've probably guessed. Art Agnos, former mayor, is a supporter of Proposition B. You're listening to Forum, and as you know, this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information on how to do that, go to kqed.org. I'm Dave Iverson. More comments coming in now. Bill writes, what city agencies allowed developers to exceed height limits now? And what criteria do they use to allow variance in the height limit? Shouldn't any new law apply to those criteria and let the city agencies do their job? It's a good question, Art Agnos. I mean, how does it work now, in other words? The Board of Supes and the planning department?
It goes through the Port Commission. It goes through the Planning Commission. And the arguments will be made, pro and con, about whether we should raise the height limits to get the value that the developer thinks is necessary for that particular project on the waterfront. We saw that with 8 Washington, where it was approved by all of those city agencies, including the Board of Supervisors. And what we're saying is that can happen now. We don't change that process. Nothing gets substituted for what happens today. It simply says, in addition to that, if you do raise the height limits, you're going to have to get a vote of the people of San Francisco who own the property in the first place.
This listener writes in something that I think we should focus on a bit in our remaining minutes, which is the public's primary concern over waterfront development should not be focused on height limits, but rather on public access. The general public is much more interested in the waterfront experience than potentially blocking a narrow view from an office or $1 million apartment balcony. And then Catherine goes on to say, what San Franciscans really want is to keep the waterfront views open. When the freeway came down, the old Embarcadero freeway, the open waterfront is one of the greatest free places ever. Does Proposition B help us keep the waterfront open? So that's an interesting way to look at this, I think, because it is, I think, going back to the ballpark for a moment and the Embarcadero, that sort of stretch of San Francisco is something everyone relishes and enjoys. So the question is, would Proposition B help more of that kind of development, or would it squash that
I think it'll inhibit the type of development that is required to get those parks on the waterfront. Mayor Agnos, his narrative almost seems like those parks will come for free, and they don't. It takes a certain level of development to fund repair of the waterfront piers, to refund repair of those historic buildings, to protect against sea level rise for the seawall repair, and to build those parks. And so the park, for example, the 5-acre park that's planned on Lot A right now, which is on the water's edge, is part of a long public process with the Mission Bay Citizens Advisory Committee that's gone on for quite some time. And now suddenly, if I'm the developer, and from what we hear from Mayor Agnos and his political team is that the Giants have told him that they're willing to downzone that or to resize it and make it smaller. We'll lose – those funds don't come for free.
Art Agnos.
Let me make something clear. He's referred to my political team. I don't have a political team. I'm not running for mayor. I've made that very clear. I'm not running for any political office for the rest of my life. So, Pat, relax about my political team. There is none. What I care about is I love this city. I care about its future. And I see the unrestricted amount of high rises being proposed along the waterfront as a threat to the livability of this city, to the affordability of this city, and to the access of this by the people of this city to our precious waterfront that, frankly, I had a little bit to do with in 1990 when I took down the Embarcadero Freeway. So the parks will come, the housing will come, but we are going to have the people decide how high it's going to go and at what cost those things will come.
But isn't this issue also a way? I take you, of course, at your word about not having a desire to run for office or anything like that again. But this is an issue that's galvanizing the progressive left in some ways. It's serving a larger political purpose, which to which you said you are in loose affiliation with, right?
Of course. I make no mistake. I make no bones about it. I am. I'm a progressive politician, always have been, and am proud of it. But I think that what we're seeing in San Francisco is an awakening across the board by people who are feeling that they are not being listened to by City Hall, and they're resorting to what a democracy allows, which is the initiative process, something Mr. Valentino's chairs do not like. Tim Collins said in a democracy, the voters are dumb. Corrine Woods said she doesn't give a damn what the voters say.
Why don't we let Mr. Valentino rather than the other speaker?
That's completely a false statement.
No, it's not.
Your political team is the political team that's running this campaign, and they are a political team.
Last thought, Pat Valentino.
Last thought. Look, I live on the waterfront. I'm plan on staying in San Francisco the rest of my life and staying down on the waterfront the rest of my life. We have there's a significant broad and diverse base of folks that are against Prop B for good reason. The San Francisco Chronicle, the San Francisco Democratic Party, the Parks Alliance, the League of Conservation Voters, the Housing Action Coalition, the Business Times, the Labor Council, the Alice Toklas LGBT Democratic Club, City
Can
Democratic
I read
Club,
mine now?
Et cetera, et cetera.
Can I read my list?
Very briefly.
Well, the Sierra Club, the Affordable Housing Coalition, we see Senator Mark Leno, Senator Quentin Kopp, across the board, the Coalition for Neighborhoods, supporting Prop B because it gives people a choice on what kind of projects will go how high on our publicly owned land.
And we have to leave it there, but I will leave you with these two neatly paired emails. Art Agnos should be tarred and feathered and sent out of town, never to be seen again. Art Agnos, thank you for keeping an endless line of lawyers and developers at bay. So there you have it. Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.